Blog Talk Radio. Ever.
Hello.
One of these days we all will stand in judgment for every single
January the 25th, 2014. It's a good morning here in North Carolina. It's sunny outside, but it's very, very cold. I think it's in the teens. There's the sun is actually shining, but, you know, as soon as you step outside, you know, that cold air just hits you. But, yeah, last week we had Raphael on, and it's been a great show. There's a lot of people, you know, clicking on the Raphael a show, and they're learning a lot from him and learn a lot from me, and I really appreciate everybody listening to the show today. We're supposed to have guest Marcy Simpson, and she had something going on in her house. She actually had a pop freeze up on her because it's so cold here in our area. And she's been working on that. So she's still supposed to call in here in a little bit, and we'll go interview her about her testimony. She has some amazing testimonies. And, you know, she's been one of my lawn care customers for a very long time. And, you know, I've prayed for her a couple of times when she's had situations in her life and things happened, you know. It wasn't me. It was the Lord working, you know, doing things for her. And she's had a lot of situations where she has prayed. And, you know, the Lord has healed her. And, I mean, she's a very open person to the Lord. I mean, she's very open to the Lord. And he does a lot of wonderful things in her life and stuff and blesses her in many ways. But anyway, we're going to get to the Lord want me to read Mark 1 today for some reason. And I'm sure it's a reason that somebody needs to hear this. It says in Mark 1, it says, "This is the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It began as the prophet Elijah had written. God said, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you to open the way for you.' Someone is shouting in the desert, 'Get the road ready for the Lord. Make a straight path for him to travel.' So John appeared in the desert, baptizing and preaching, 'Turn away from your sins and be baptized,' he told the people. 'God will forgive your sins.' May people from the province of Judea and the city of Jerusalem went out to hear John. They confessed their sins, and he baptized them in the Jordan River. John wore clothes made of camel hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. He announced to the people, 'The man who will come after me is much greater than I am. I am not good enough to even bow down to his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the fire of the Holy Spirit.'" Now there he's talking about the introduction of Christ, of Jesus, when he was going to come and finish the ministry. See, John and Jesus was actually born close at the same time. John was born before Jesus because he was actually created to offer in, you know, Jesus' ministry. And, you know, he had his own following there for a very long time. He baptized in the water for cleansing of sins, and he was authorized to do that. But a lot of people said he had a very strong ministry because, one thing, he had some power to his words, but, you know, people had to believe him, and he had to open the faith of people. And he did that. And when he opened the faith of people, you know, things changed for them. They saw a change in their lives, but it was nothing like what Jesus was going to do. Jesus was going to baptize them with the Holy Spirit and change their whole life, their whole generation. And that's why he was the leader to him. So when Jesus was ready and God had him ready to start, you know, Christ's ministry, John the Baptist handed it over to Jesus. And he knew that, you know, there would be one day that he would hand his ministry over to Christ. And he knew the whole situation. He knew about that. And it happened. I mean, even, you know, when they threw John in the prison there because he didn't agree with the king marrying his daughter or it was some kind of strange thing there, the king or whatever did. And threw him in prison. His wife didn't like that. And anyway, they asked him, they said, you know, "Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ?" He said, "I've heard some things about him and stuff, but, you know, ask him." He said, "Ask Jesus, is he the one for us that we've been looking for, or is there one greater than you that's coming? Or is there somebody better than you coming?" And they went to Jesus and told him that. He said, "Don't ask me." He said, "Ask the people, for the people I've healed and transformed their life, who they say I am. And there's your answer." So all the people, you know, in the community has been healed and been transformed by Jesus. And there was no other person before him that could ever do that. And there was only one that was close to that, and that was Moses. Moses did quite a bit of things like that. But he was the only one. But Jesus was even stronger than Moses, because Moses couldn't cast out demons. He couldn't do all the things that Jesus was doing. Jesus was like the fourfold ministry in itself is what he was. And he was building his ministry to save people from their sins. And when he died, you know, on that cross, he broke that veil, and that veil was broke. You know, it opened the door for all of us who believed in him. And that's what we're looking for, you know, for all that believe in him to be free. And that's what the whole thing's about. And I did have another one here that I was wanting to read. And it was in Mark 2. Preached to Galileans. Okay, the crowd at the lake. Okay. I got the crowd at the lake. It said, Jesus, this here is Mark 3, verse 7. It says, the crowd at the lake. Jesus and his disciples went away to Lake Galilee, and a large crowd followed him. They had came from Galilee and Judea, from Jerusalem, from the territory of Idumea, from the territory of the east side of the Jordan, and from the region around the cities of Tara and Sodom. All these people came to Jesus because they had heard of all the things he was doing. The crowd was so large that Jesus told his disciples to get a boat ready for him, so the people would not crush him. He had healed many people, and all the sick kept pushing their way to him in order for him to touch them. And whenever a person who had evil spirits and spirits in them saw him, they would fall before him and scream, "You are the Son of God." Jesus sternly ordered the evil spirits not to tell anyone who he was. Then Jesus went up to the hill and called to himself the men who wanted. They came to him. He chose the 12 from the name of apostles. "I have chosen you to be with me." This here when he was choosing his disciples, called the 12 apostles. He told them, "I will also send you out to preach." So after he already got back from going through these crowds of people, he decided to choose his 12 disciples. And he said, "I will also send to you out to preach, and you will leave authority to drive out demons." So when he was going to send them out, he had authority to drive out demons. There are 12 he chose. Simon, Jesus gave him the name Peter, James and his brother John, the sons of Zebedee. Jesus gave them the name Barnabas, which means men of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, son of Alphaea, Titus, Simon the Patriot, Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. So that was some of the 12. This came into the story after that. But there's many things there, you know. I kind of mixed two of them up, but you know, the one thing is, you know, when Jesus went through that crowd, he knew that he was going to choose those 12 disciples. But you know, he always loved to heal people. That's just his thing. He loved to lay his hands on the sick and transform the sick. And then again, he's wanting to, help some people there. And he helped many a person there. But he was wanting to choose his 12, and he chose them, you know, out in the open, you know, in front of people. And he wanted them people to know who he's choosing. And he's wanting them to see these 12 where they will recognize him, recognize each other one of them as, you know, as one of his people. You know, not only go to him for help, but go to them because they have the same power as he has. He gave it to them. So they had the ability to drive out demons, to heal the sick, to transform people's lives through the grace of Christ. And that's what we are today. When we accept Christ, since he's already passed, you know, he already rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, he poured his Holy Spirit amongst us. So when we accept him, we get that Holy Spirit. And we need to get baptized in that Holy Spirit. When we get all that, then we're able to do what he does. To different extents, a lot of us have different gifts when that happens. It could be a gift of preaching. It could be a gift of healing, a gift of singing. It could be many things. But we've got to use that gift that he gives us. But we can do the same as them disciples. See, back in those days, they only had the disciples. They didn't have Jesus that died on that cross yet. He was still walking amongst them, so they couldn't accept him. The only way they could accept him is for him to accept them as one of the 12. They can get healed by him, but they couldn't fully have the Holy Spirit in them as the disciples did. But now we all can receive the Holy Spirit. Passed on and was raised up and ascended into heaven. And like I said, he poured the Holy Spirit amongst us. Where when we accept him, we can get the same Holy Spirit as he gave to the disciples. We can get the exact same thing. So that's why it's very important for us to accept the Lord. You know, we can get baptized in the Holy Spirit. We have many things, you know, the gift of the Spirit that can be given to us. And all it is just to be asked for. Just ask him for it. It's that simple. And you can't believe how very hard it is for somebody to ask for something. I'm one of them. I mean, I have a hard time asking for people to help me. But, you know, I've learned to overcome that. But asking for Jesus to help you, that's the number one thing. You've got to have, you know, you've got to ask him to help you. I mean, you can go without it, and then you'll have a rough life and, you know, have many different circumstances happen in your life because you didn't accept. But, you know, it's up to you. It's always up to you. It's all free choice there. But the thing is, you know, you always step up and let Christ work in you. Let him transform you. You'll see an amazing person that he'll turn you into. You'll see the most loving person you ever saw in yourself that he'll turn you into. A lot of times we got to be cleaned out of these demonic entities that we've picked up from people. He'll do that too. He'll clean us out. He'll set everything in order. He'll set our lives in order. But that's one of the amazing things that he'll do for us. But I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to let us listen to a song. And I'm going to let us listen to My Hope Is In You. I'll be right back.
My soul.
This is Reverend Stan. I'm back. It's 10:22, and welcome back. Marcy Simpson, she had her pop bust because it's so cold. It got like in the teens last night, and she had some problems, and she's dealing with that last time I talked to her. It's fine. I'll still talk about her and let you know some stuff about Marcy Simpson. I said a few little things earlier, but I'll go into a little bit more details. Marcy Simpson, I've been mowing for her for about 3 or 4 years now, and she lives down here in May, North Carolina, where I am, and she's a widow, and I like helping people like that because, you know, I give them a good deal in their yard, and, you know, that's the type of work that I do on the side. I do this as a ministry. I do lawn care as a ministry to help people out that needs their yard cleaned up or mowed or something like that, where, you know, some people would overcharge them. I try to charge them, you know, the best rate that I can to help pay for my gas and the help that I have from time to time. And I also use my lawn care service as a ministry because there's some people who have no job, and I'll let them come in and help me a little bit, and I'll pay them on the side, you know, something to help them along. And I've used it for both things. I've used it to help people out. They have no job, and I used it to help elderly people who can't really afford a whole lot. But she is one of the persons that I've mowed for many years. And there's been sometimes she has health issues, as some people do. And there was many times that, you know, I would be kind of scared to ask her if I would pray for her because I didn't know how she'd react to some of that stuff. And she was very open. I asked her one day, and she's very open, and I prayed for her and, you know, and try to help her. And one time she had a blockages in her valves or something, in her blood veins. She had blockages, and I prayed for it, and I cursed it, and I commanded it to leave, and I just kept on praying over her, and she felt some change. And luckily, the next day or so, she's going to get checked by the doctor to go into surgery to remove these blockages out of her arteries. And she went to the doctor the next day or so, and they said the blockages was gone, that God completely removed these blockages out of her blood veins. And she was so happy and happy about that, and she jumped up in joy and said, "Stan, God's using you for a good purpose." And I said, "God, you know, God's using me, but, you know," and she kept on telling me that I did it. And I was like, "No, I didn't do it. Jesus did that." And, you know, and I was very happy that God could use me for that situation because God puts me in many different places that I can be used. And it's amazing how God sets you up. I had another situation this week. I was looking for a car because my car, I promised to a friend of mine, he's graduating out of high school and going to college, and I promised it to him because he's worked hard for everything he had, and I was going to help him out. But anyway, I was looking for another car for me, and I was looking for an SUV or something like that, and some reason the Lord told me, you know, you always want a Camaro. Once you look for a Camaro, it has some seats in the back for your children. You only got two, you know, it's cool. And I was like, "Nah, I don't know." You know, it was a dream I had back a long time ago, and I had one, but, you know, things happened. I couldn't keep it and all that. So anyway, I thought I'd go on Craigslist and look for one, and found one down here in Newton. Looked pretty good shape and had a good deal and everything. And it was a 94, I think. So I went up there and I actually talked to the guy's named Brian. He might be listening. Hey, Brian, if you're listening. But anyway, we started talking about the Camaro and stuff, and he had back issues and all this stuff. And I said, "Hey, Brian, would you want me to pray for you?" He's like, "Sure, man, I'll take anything, you know, anything to help relieve my back. You know, I'm happy with it." So he wanted me to pray for him in his garage because he scared his wife and think we're crazy or something. It was funny. But anyway, we went to the garage, and I prayed for him in Jesus' name to remove up to correct his back, remove all pain. And, you know, there's always some demonic activities happening to everybody that goes through pain because they're trying to beat you down where you can't do anything for your family, you can't go to church. That's just what they do. So I saw this, I felt this, and I was trying to get this off. And I met him the next day to get the car. And he told me, he said, that's the best night's sleep I've had in weeks, months, you know. And he said, and he was trying to get a surgery for his back, and he's having problems with his insurance. He couldn't get no help to get it freed up. And luckily that morning they called him and said he could have his surgery, just like that. And a lot of times it's, you know, it's kind of difficult for people to understand that, you know, God will heal your back completely. But if you have the money, you have the finances, he will fix it where you can get your surgery if you want. So he can heal you any way. I mean, I saw people's backs completely realigned and new spines put in. But if you want that doctor to cut, you know, to work on your back, you can have it. It's up to you. It's up to you. And a lot of people, you know, overseas, there's many different miracles that happen different than it does over here. And I was talking to Art Thomas one time, and I think you're on the radio, and I asked him, I said, why does these people overseas, they have no money, no food, and they say, in Jesus' name, you know, Father, provide me food, and food just reappear on the table. And that's kind of hard to believe, but I've heard many ministers say that does happen over there, that God does work like it. It would probably make you pass out if you'd see some of the miracles happen because your mind couldn't comprehend that. But anyway, he said, first of all, he said, those people has no resources to get food. They have no resources to get help. They have no resources to get healed. They have no doctors. They have no grocery stores. They have no way. Some places they can't grow food. They're having a hard time to get food in there, and that's one of the reasons why you see miracles like that. But here in America, we have grocery stores. We have the resources. That's why he has no need to do some of the things, not unless you have no insurance, you have no doctor. He will do a complete healing for you, and he may do a complete healing for you anyway. But it really depends on your resources sometimes and what you can comprehend. And there's some people that has complete back overhauls by the Lord. He just gives you a whole new back, and that happens. There's people who have brand new legs, you know, have full body parts repaired for them or new ones put on. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, a lot of people couldn't believe some of the things that God has did. And it also says in the end days, the miracles will be stronger, bigger than what the Lord did. We'll be able to do more. Not that we're any better, is that he's trying to open people's eyes up to see what the Lord is doing. And I was listening to a guy from Bethel Church, and he's talking about this organization that goes out overseas and heals the sick and all this, and they have raised like 100 dead people, man. 100 dead people. I mean, people's dying, you know, it's already dead, been dead for a day or so, and they say, in Jesus' name, you know, stand up, and they do. And it might be pretty hard for you to comprehend that and believe that. But there's a lot of things out there showing what these people are doing. The dead is being raised. Their people is being healed. God is transforming people now. There's eye-opening situations that's being done now in Jesus' name. And you just got to have your mind open for this. And if your mind ain't open, it's going to happen anyway. I mean, if the Lord wants it to happen, I don't care if you believe it or don't believe it. And sometimes people that don't believe it will have more miracles than ones that do, you know. But all miracles don't happen at one time. A lot of times I have did a lot of prayers for people where it happened the next day. It happened next 2 weeks. It's just whenever the set time is. And a lot of times it happens right then and there. And I've had a lot of miracles where it happens then. And the pain went away then. And that's what I aim for. But it, like I said, it's not me. It's the Lord doing this. It's not me. It's whatever he wants is what happens. So a lot of times there's a process going on inside of you. You've got to have the cleansing of the demonic spirits, the cleansing of the problem that's holding you down for this miracle to manifest. A lot of times that'll go on first. That'll go on first before you actually see a miracle. And a lot of times it's done fast. It's like boom, like as soon as somebody says in Jesus' name, you know. A lot of times, and another thing that I like to point out here, before we do the prayer, God has already made reservations for that prayer. And a lot of people say, well, you've got to pray to bring the Lord down here, and he's got to sit here and watch your prayer. No, that doesn't happen. He's already there before you even start the prayer. He's already made preparations for that person to be healed. So before you know, went to Brian's house, God was making preparations for me to get there, like for me to want my old Camaro that I wanted before, to let me know that I want that Camaro, and for me to find Brian's house, for me to be there in front of Brian and be able to pray for him. He made preparations for me to be there. And I might be maybe the only dude in miles that works in the power of God like that, that can, you know, open that, just that little teeny window where this can happen, if you understand what I'm saying. There's some people who has faith. There's some people that uses their faith. There's some people who has faith that's kind of wishy-washy because they're not really sure. It's that, you know, when it comes down to the gun pointing at you, what do you believe? A lot of people say, "Oh no, I don't believe the faith is all psychological," and then that don't work. See, but when you're down the gun and you believe and you know, it ain't no, well, yeah, maybe it's, you know, there's no if or ands about it. You know that it works. And when you saw miracles like me and like many other people that I've talked to and been around, you see miracles every day. I don't talk about miracles that happened 20 years ago. I don't talk about miracles that happened 5 years ago. I talk about miracles that happen every day in my life. I expect miracles every day in my life, not just once a day. But 2 or 3 years. I want a miracle in my life every day. I want the Lord to reveal himself to me every day. I want a daily walk with the Lord, not a weekly, not a yearly, not something I can talk about happened 3 years ago. I want something to happen to me now that happens to me every day that helps provide a mediumship or a not even put mediumship, because some people get into the new age crap and they think, I want to provide a vehicle, me, my body, a vehicle that can actually show people, that God can actually show people through me that he's alive, that he's working, that he's transforming people. So that's what I'm here for. That's what I want to be. I want to be a vehicle for the Lord. No matter what kind of crap I go through mentally with things and trying to figure out things, I still, the body is his. It's his to transform people. It's always been his. Even the day I was born, it was his. I didn't even know it, but it was his. So that's a big thing. You got to destroy you. You got to the person who you think you are has to die, and Christ has to take over. I don't mean physically kill yourself or anything. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the you, the ego, the problems that you have with people. It has to die. The you has to die. God has to take over, and you only can do that with the Holy Spirit. You cannot do that yourself. Well, for you to do that yourself, you cannot recreate yourself. Only God can do that. He has to work through you. He has to work through your mind. He has to transform your brain, your mind. He has to transform how you feel about things. He has to transform your heart. Your heart has to be clean. Your heart has to be clean. If your heart ain't clean, ain't much he can do with you. And I know there's a lot of people out there that says, you know, some of the healing people, they say, you know, the heart is always pure. Well, you see a lot of people walking down the street that look happy and joy, but when you get behind closed doors and you hear what they say sometimes, there's no purity coming out. It's all curse words and perverted stuff that's coming out what they really believe. But if you hear somebody with a clean heart in their mouth, you'll hear pretty cool things. And that's what you want to really look into. But I'm going to be right back, and I'm going to play a fast song. Hey, Marcy, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. Everybody, I want to introduce you to Marcy Simpson. We only have like 7 minutes left, but I'm going to still do a little quick interview. How's your pops doing? You getting them straightened out?
Not yet. I'm still waiting.
Okay. Yeah, I told everybody that you had some... I told everybody you had a little situation with your house there, and it might be a little while. But,
right.
Yeah, Marcy, how has the Lord worked in your life and some of the miracles that you've seen?
Oh, God has really worked in my life. All the miracles, I just couldn't tell you in a few minutes, all the things that God has done for me. And you have played a big part of that because you always was here to do my yard. You always had prayer with me. We could always sit and talk about God and his wonderful and his glory, how he healed people, how he, you know, through other people. So you've been a big blessing in my life, and I hope everybody that's listening out there will take this very, very seriously because God is real. And he's got people here that are doing miracles every day, and Pastor Stan is one of them. So I can tell you that because I've had some incidents to happen, and we prayed together, and I've had the doctors to tell me one thing, and when I went and had tests, it came out another thing. So it was because we prayed together, and God said where there's two or three gathered together in his name, he would be in the midst. So Pastor Stan has done a lot of wonderful things and is doing a great thing out here in the world because we need this right now. We need a God out there. We need a Savior. We have so many people that is out here, and this is no game. A lot of people are taking God as a game, and they're playing with him, but you plan with a dangerous thing when you plan with God. And you can see it every day. You can see it in the weather pattern. You can see the things that's going on around you because he said there would be signs and there would be wonders. And these signs and wonders are here. So if you've got problems, if something's going on in your life, get with somebody that's bound in God and know God and pray with them and talk with them and see the change. Watch the change. It's coming. But you got to have faith. You got to believe
Amen.
In God. You can't believe just every little thing that the news media tell you or John Doe tell you. Believe what God tells you. He left a wonderful book back here. So believe it. So Pastor Stan is doing a wonderful job. That's all I can tell you. He's just, if you got to know him. Once you know him and you can feel the Holy Spirit when you're around him because he takes his God serious.
Amen. Yes. I was talking to him a while ago. I was telling him that about how miracles work and stuff, and I told him a little bit about you and about, you know, some of the things that happened with you and some of the things, you know, that God has actually, you know, many different miracles that's happened in your life where you've prayed yourself and you've had things transformed for you just by, you know, your faith and believing and praying for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. And there's another amazing thing is that when you find somebody that their faith is pretty strong and you help pray for them, you see things happen real quick because there's no doors holding God down from doing anything.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And the stronger your faith is, the faster that he'll work. And, I mean, he'll work faster. He'll work fast no matter what. But a lot of times, you know, I mean, everybody I've prayed for, there's been a transformation of some sort, but it's always faster for the believers, for the ones that already have him working in their life. It's like, boom, and they have like a fast transformation. And that lets me know that the Lord is already in their life, is already working. They just need a little bit of help. And
that's exactly right.
And it's amazing to see things like it happen in people's lives. And it like I always told people, it's not me. It's just the Holy Spirit that it uses me for a vehicle. I said, it's never me. It's like, you know, you got to surrender yourself to God for him to use you in many different situations. And I also was telling them about the car that I got and how God used me to help that guy's back. And that I wasn't really looking for a Camaro. I was looking for an SUV. But God wanted me to get a Camaro and wanted me to help that guy, and I ended up doing it. But it's never your will. It's always his will.
Always God's will.
So I go with it. That's the only thing I do. I just go with it. But
well,
yeah.
I'm so glad that I met you and that you came into my life, and the talks that we had, the prayers that we've had together, and we both know that God works.
He works.
If there's any doubters out there and you doubt that God is not working for you, try him.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
You'll see all those transformations. You'll see all those pitfalls that the devil put out there in your way fall down. You'll see the chains just breaking loose. But you got to trust him.
Yeah. That's it. I mean, I've had some people come on this show and they have situations come up where they try not to be, they try to get them off the show. I had a FBI Art and he got his times mixed up. I know the enemy was involved in that. But we ended up having the show anyway, so he didn't win.
He didn't win.
And
God, there's no losing. There may be a time of waiting till God is ready, but there is no losing with God.
There is no losing with God. Yeah, we got 90 seconds left on the show. But, Marcy, it's nice for you to be able to come in. I know it's kind of difficult for you to come in. You had a situation going on, there in your household, and I still appreciate you coming on. And maybe you can come on some other time.
I will, and I desire everybody's prayers. You know,
amen.
There's power in prayer. So, anybody that's out there that's listening to my voice and listening to Pastor Stan, believe there's power in prayer, and it works.
Amen. And like I said, Martha, we'll talk to you some other time. And this is the Healing Light Show. Thank you all for joining us. And I'll be back with y'all Thursday at 9:30. God bless every one of y'all. And we'll see you next week.
And God bless.
Months is too little. They let him go. They had no sudden healing. To think that providence would take a child from his mother while she prays is appalling. Who told us we'd be rescued? What has changed and why should we